Welcome, everyone, to the 2024 Central Procurement Entity Local RA/RFO Participants Webinar. Your lines have been placed on listen-only for conference. Conference is being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn our conference over to our host, Mr. Kyle Niyama. Sir, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. All right. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the CPE team, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to the 2024 PG&E Central Procurement Entity Local RA/RFO Participants Webinar. All right. So to start things off, I'd like to begin with a brief introduction to PG&E as the CPE for those who either aren't yet familiar or could use a little refresher. So PG&E is issuing the 2024 Local Resource Adequacy Request for Offers and Commitments, also known as RFO, in its function as the Central Procurement Entity, which will be referred to as PG&E CPE throughout this presentation. PG&E CPE is required to procure local capacity or obtain self-shown commitments for local capacity to meet the three-year forward multi-year Local Resource Adequacy, RA, requirement on behalf of all CPUC jurisdictional load-serving entities within its electric distribution service area. Throughout this presentation, CPUC jurisdictional load-serving entities will be referred to as CPUC LSEs. One important note I'd like to flag is that all procurement conducted by PG&E CPE is distinct from procurement conducted by PG&E for PG&E's bundled electric service customers. At any point during this presentation, participants should email their questions to the CPE RFO mailbox, and that's cpesolicitations@pge.com. You may have noticed the chat feature is turned off during this webinar, so please direct your questions to the RFO mailbox instead, and also copy the independent evaluator at pge_cpe_ie@paconsulting.com when sending in those questions. We'll be leaving some time towards the end of the webinar to answer your questions. Please keep in mind, however, that we may not be able to address all the questions during the Q&A portion of the webinar, just depending on the volume received. After the webinar, we'll compile and post a Q&A document on the CPE RFO website at the link shown on screen there. This presentation deck, as well as the audio portion of the webinar, will be posted on the CPE RFO website for future reference. All right, so some quick disclaimers here on document conflicts. This presentation is meant to be a summary-level discussion of the information and requirements established in the RFO materials, and will not cover all of the detailed information in those materials. To the extent there are any inconsistencies between the information provided in this presentation and the requirements in the RFO materials, the RFO materials shall govern. PG&E CPE strongly encourages participants to carefully review the 2024 CPE Local RA/RFO Solicitation Protocol, which is available on the CPE RFO website. If any participants have questions regarding the CPE RFO documents, we ask that you seek clarity by submitting questions to the CPE RFO mailbox prior to submitting a commitment or offer in this year's RFO. Again, as a reminder, please make sure that the IE is CC'd on all those inquiries submitted to PG&E CPE. All right, so the objective of today's presentation is to provide information to participants who may submit self-shown commitments or offers into the 2024 CPE Local RA/RFO. An important thing to note, all information in this presentation applies only to this year's 2024 CPE Local RA/RFO. So taking a quick look at the agenda here, I'll provide an overview of this year's RFO as well as the agreements, and then we'll take a quick 10-minute intermission and come back for a Q&A. After that, we'll wrap up with an overview of our self-shown attestation commitment form process, commitment form submittal, And for those that want to stick around for the appendix slot, we'll go over how to populate the various competitive offer forms. So here we have listed a few changes we've made to the 2024 CPE RFO process. Up first, PG&E CPE has modified the self-shown attestation process for non-compensated self-shown commitments. CPUC LSEs that participate in the non-compensated self-shown commitment process for 2024 will be asked to provide an updated attestation that reflects all self-shown commitments. These updated attestations should include previous commitments that fall within the current compliance years, like 2025 and 2026 commitments made in prior RFOs, as well as new and incremental commitments that fall within the 2025 through 2027 RA compliance years. Rest assured, we'll be providing an example of this process later in this presentation, so stay tuned. Second change made to the RFO was some modifications related to the existing offer forms. PG&E CPE has reduced the number of inputs in Appendix A1 and Appendix A2 by 23% and 9% respectively. And the last change here, so PG&E CPE created Appendix A3. This is a new offer form for CPUC LSEs submitting competitive offers for existing resources, and that's for delivery starting within the 2025 through 2027 compliance period. Basically, Appendix A3 allows CPUC LSEs to aggregate multiple RA-only offers on a single sheet, and that basically is going to eliminate the need for an individual form for each corresponding offer, as was previously required in past RFOs. So here's a look at our schedule for the 2024 PG&E CPE RFO. We encourage participants to refer to the 2024 CPE RFO solicitation protocol, as well as the website for specific deadlines associated with the dates listed here. As I'm sure you're all aware, we launched the 2024 CPE RFO last Thursday on February 22nd, which brings us to today's webinar on the 29th. The next deadline is for the submittal of non-compensated self-shown commitments, which falls on March 22nd, a Friday. Following that, we have the competitive offer deadlines for PG&E participant and all other market participants on March 26th and March 27th, respectively. We're targeting an execution deadline for Track 1 offers on June 28th, and the execution deadline for Track 2 offers will be sometime in early August. Just as a quick refresher, Track 1 is reserved for offers with RA delivery in Frontier 2025, while Track 2 covers all other offers. All these deadlines listed here lead up to the PG&E CPE's local RA showing with the CPUC, which will be in mid-August of 2024. All right, so as with previous CPE solicitations, there is an independent evaluator, also known as IE, assigned to this 2024 local RA RFO. The primary role of the IE is to monitor the RFO process to ensure fair and equal treatment of all potential participants, to monitor the evaluation process to ensure that PG&E CPE has implemented methodology as described and that self-shown commitments and offers are treated consistently. And lastly, they report on the RFO process and proposed transactions to the CPUC when they are filed for CPUC approval. Another note, the IE may review all self-shown commitment and offer data, as well as communications with participants. For this RFO, the IE is PA Consulting, and that's Charles Jansek, Lillian Free, and Claudia Sleeve. Their email address, as previously mentioned, is PGE_CPE_IE@paconsulting.com. Just want to reiterate, those are underscores, not spaces, in that email address. So again, please copy the IE on all communications to the CPE RFO mailbox. All right, so we'll kick it off now with an overview of the 2024 RFO. So starting with goals, PG&E CPE is seeking new and existing local resource capacity that can provide RA in PG&E local areas in order to meet the central procurement obligations required by the CPUC decision. The aforementioned local areas are displayed on the map to the right of the screen there. So for 2024, PG&E CPE is required to procure or obtain self-shown commitments for 100% of the CPUC's 2025 and 2026 local RA requirements in PG&E's distribution service area. For 2026, the obligation dials back to 50% of the CPUC's local RA requirements in PG&E's distribution service area. To reach these goals, PG&E CPE is seeking to, one, obtain commitments from CPUC LSEs that will self-show their resources to reduce the total local RA need in PG&E's distribution service area, and two, procure RA capacity from new and existing resources located in PG&E's local capacity areas to meet the local RA requirements allocated to PG&E CPE by the CPUC. All right, so all resources must meet the following minimum eligibility requirements to participate in the 2024 PG&E CPE local RA RFO. First, resources must have a single CAISO resource identification, or CAISO resource ID, as defined in the CAISO tariff. For aggregated behind-the-meter resources, including demand response, the resource must be in a single sublap, as defined in the CAISO tariff. The resource must also be able to provide RA capacity. Resources must meet the applicable CPUC and CAISO RA requirements that will enable PG&E CPE to receive all of the applicable RA benefits associated with the resource. This one's specific to existing resources. The resource must be electrically connected in a PG&E local capacity area and remain listed as such per the CAISO's local capacity technical study. Meanwhile, for new resources, those resources must have a completed CAISO Phase 1 interconnection study report, along with a construction schedule that can support the proposed initial delivery date. So here we have a breakdown of the CPE's commitment and procurement processes. Starting from the left of this graphic, CPUC LSEs are eligible to participate in the green box, that's number one, the non-compensated self-shown commitment process, as well as the two competitive offer processes in the blue box down there, number two. The two competitive processes are competitive offers for compensated self-shown commitments and competitive offers for bundled RA. Drilling down a little bit further into the competitive offers for bundled RA, CPUC LSEs are eligible to submit offers for either bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. One note too is that CPUC LSEs that opt to submit a competitive offer for bundled RA can also choose to self-show for no compensation if their offer is not selected by the CPE. Basically, this default to self-show option would land them back in the green box up top, that number one. Taking a look at all market participants, they are eligible to participate in the 2024 CPE RFO through the competitive offer for bundled RA process, submitting an offer for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. All right, so now we'll drill down a little further into the different commitments and offers, starting with the non-compensated self-shown commitment. Like I mentioned before, only CPUC LSEs are eligible for the non-compensated self-shown commitment process. In terms of resource eligibility, any existing or new resource under contract with or owned by a CPUC LSE that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the RFO can be committed for no compensation. The shown term for resources in this commitment process must fall within the 3-year forward local RA compliance window. Again, that's January 2025 through December 2027. The specific details further outlined in the decision state that the CPUC LSEs that submit a non-compensated self-shown commitment will retain the resources system and flexible RA attributes to meet their own RA obligations. Second, CPUC LSEs will submit a self-shown attestation in lieu of a contract. And a one thing to note too, a contract is not required for non-compensated self-shown commitments. And finally here, CAISO backstop procurement costs related to the non-performance of resources providing non-compensated self-shown commitments will be charged directly to the PG&E CPE and allocated to all CPUC LSEs in the CPE TAC area through the cost allocation mechanism, also known as CAM. So moving on to the competitive offer process, starting with the compensated self-shown commitment. Again, the eligible counterparties here are CPUC LSEs. Eligible resources include any preferred resource or energy storage resource with an original contract executed on or after June 17, 2020 that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO. For utility-owned generation, any resource approved by the commission or by an advice letter on or after June 17, 2020, that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO is eligible for this process. So for the shown term, similar to the non-compensated self-shown commitment and per the LCR RCM decision, the shown term must be equivalent to the period that the resource is under contract or contracted for. That corresponds to the three-year forward local RA compliance period. Again, for the CPE, that's January 2025 through December 2027. Some specific details from the decision. Compensation for selected competitive offers for compensated self-shown commitments will be capped at a predetermined local RA premium in each local area based on administrative benchmarks determined by the CPUC. Second, CPUC LSEs that are competitively offered as compensated self-shown local RA will retain the system and flexible RA attributes of the resource. And lastly, for the compensated self-shown local RA commitments, both an attestation and a contract are required for compensated self-shown local RA. Rounding things out is the competitive offer process, bundled RA and bundled RA energy settlement. As mentioned before, all market participants are eligible, including CPUC LSEs. Eligible resources include any new or existing resource that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO. The delivery term must be greater than or equal to 1 month, and there is no cap on the maximum term. That said, for existing resources, the PG&E CPE does prefer delivery terms ranging from 1 month up to 60 months, that's 5 years. For new resources, where the seller is the owner of the resource, PG&E CPE prefers a delivery term of 10 or 15 years, and that's to help incentivize the development of new local resources. Initial delivery dates for the bundled RA and bundled RA with energy settlement are as follows. For existing resources, similar to the self-shown commitment process, the IDD must start within the compliance window of January 2025 through December 2027. For new resources, that IDD window is expanded. For new resources, the IDD may be any time between January 2025, extending all the way out through December 2029. And then lastly, the details driven again by the decision are that CPUC LSEs will receive credits for the system and flexible capacity procured by the CPE based on coincident peak load share. And to note for everybody on the call, CPUC LSEs can competitively offer a resource into the CPE solicitation, but indicate in their competitive offer that the associated local RA attributes will be a non-compensated self-shown commitment if the competitive offer is not selected. Again, as previously mentioned, that's that default self-show option, which we showed on the diagram a few slides back. All right, so now we'll spend some time reviewing the PG&E CPE contracts. As a reminder, this agreement overview is summary level. If there's anything in this presentation that conflicts with the agreements shall govern, We really encourage you to take a look at the agreements and ask questions, and be sure to submit those inquiries to the CPE RFO mailbox with the IECC. So from a high level, we are offering the five contracts that we've offered previously in prior CPE solicitations. Those contracts are the RA agreement for owners of existing resources, RA agreement for owners of new resources, the RA agreement for non-owners of existing resources, and the RA agreement for non-owners of new resources, and lastly, the compensated self-shown commitment agreement. As was allowed in the 2023 CPE RFO, CPUC LSEs will continue to have the option to transact using a PG&E CPE local RA confirm letter, which will be governed by a separate PG&E CPE DEI master agreement. Given the tight timeline that we have to transact, we do have a strong preference for standardized agreements. So starting things off then with the RA agreements. The RA agreements are available for new and existing resources, and they're available for all market participants, whether they are the resource owner or a remarketer. For sellers that are offering to build and own a new dispatchable project, the product will be a percentage of all the capacity attributes that can be derived from the operational characteristics of the project. Again, that includes the local, system, flex, and any future capacity characteristics that can be derived over the life of the contract. The contract quantity will also be a percentage that will be set at execution and fixed for the delivery term. For all other sellers, PG&E CPE is buying a schedule of monthly capacity attributes, local, system, and flex if applicable, that will be fixed for the life of the contract at execution. So delivery terms for the RA agreement. PG&E CPE is looking for offers, again, of at least 1 month. The delivery term is static at the time of execution and does not change due to project delays. Again, while there is no cap on delivery term length, CPE does have a preference of 60 months or less for existing resources and 10 or 15 years for new resources. Compensation here is simply the contracted quantity multiplied by the fixed contract price, which gets you the monthly payment amount. And an energy settlement option is also available for those interested. If a seller offers an energy settlement, the seller owes PG&E CPE the financial equivalent of the resource operating in the wholesale energy market. Basically, PG&E CPE pays for the capacity that is delivered, while PG&E CPE receives the energy settlement amount from sellers. There are various energy settlement options based on technology type of the resource. Listed here, options 1 through 4. They are also listed in appendix 15 of the agreement. So the RA agreements also include performance requirements. To break those down here, sellers are expected to deliver at least 80% of capacity attributes over a rolling 12-month period and 85% over a rolling 24-month period. A couple of additional provisions here. The PG&E CPE will not be the scheduling coordinator under these agreements. Either the seller or a seller's third party will act as the scheduling coordinator and be responsible for CAISO charges and revenues. Additionally, the seller is obligated to take all actions to enable PG&E CPE to utilize the product. All right, so moving on to the compensated self-shown commitment agreements. Again, this is applicable to CPUC LSEs with preferred resources or energy storage resources that meet the requirements as stated in the LCR RCM decision. Capacity can be committed for compensation while the CPUC LSE retains its resources system and flexible RA attributes if applicable. The shown term is static for the length of the contract, and shown terms can begin no earlier than January of 2025 and end no later than December of 2027. So in terms of shown quantity, it will be a schedule of monthly values that will be fixed at the time of execution. The shown quantity will be provided by the participant in the applicable self-shown commitment form that will be paired with this agreement. Compensation is the contract price times the capacity attributes that are shown to the TISO. Just a note here, the contract price is capped at the CPUC predetermined local premium rate, which as of now have not been published. But once those prices are published, we'll have them uploaded to the CPE RFO website. And again, PG&E CPE will not be the scheduling coordinator for these resources. The seller or the project generator owner will need to take on that role and will retain all ISO revenues and charges. So as previously mentioned, we are continuing to allow CPUC LSEs to transact using a standard local RA confirm with a master. Important to note here is that, again, this is only available for CPUC LSEs. There are also a number of agreements that need to be executed prior to transacting via a confirmation letter. Both the PG&E CPE master cover sheet and the PG&E CPE collateral annex. Those are separate and distinct from any existing master cover sheet and collateral annexes that participants may already have with PG&E's electric procurement and electric fuels function. Both the PG&E CPE master EEI cover sheet and the PG&E CPE collateral annex must be in place before PG&E CPE can execute a PG&E CPE confirmation letter. CPUC LSEs who are interested in transacting through a confirmation letter are encouraged to contact CPE solicitations at pge.com in advance of the competitive offer deadlines to prevent any delay in executing a PG&E confirmation letter. I really want to emphasize that executing these agreements doesn't commit either party to a transaction. So CPUC LSEs who may be interested in this option, you don't have to wait until offers are due to reach out. You can get things set up in advance. All right, so a couple notes here. Delivery period, needs to be at least 1 month, and again, can begin no earlier than January 2025 and end no later than December of 2027. Details on the product. It consists of local, system, and flexible RA attributes, and the contracted quantity will take the form of a schedule of monthly values over the delivery term. And again, compensation will be the contract price times contract volume. And then moving on to the collateral requirements. So for existing resources, we have it bifurcated by the term of the contract. You can see it at the table below. If it's less than or equal to 36 months, we're asking for 20% of the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments, and that's excluding energy settlement, over a 12-month period. For terms greater than 36 months and less than or equal to 60 months, we're asking for 10% of the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 24-month period. And for terms greater than 60 months, we're asking for the greater of $40 a kilowatt or 10% of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 36-month period. For all new resources, we're looking for $80 a kilowatt in project development security, and for delivery term security, we're asking for the greater of $40 a kilowatt or 10% of the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 36-month period. Again, that is excluding energy settlement. All right, so with that said, that is the main portion of the 2024 PG&E CPE RFO participants webinar. We'll begin the 10-minute intermission here shortly, and then we'll take a look at some of those incoming questions. As a reminder, please submit inquiries about the 2024 CPE RFO to cpesolicitations@pge.com. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you back here in 10.
Welcome back, everyone. We will now resume our conference.
Thank you. Hey there, everybody. Kyle Niyama again with the CTE team. Thanks for holding. We'll now transition to the Q&A portion of this webinar. All right, so first question here. Does the CTE have an estimate of what date PG&E will notify bidders of PG&E's interest in the offer? So, per the 2024 RFO timeline, PG&E CTE plans to notify participants that their offers are qualified and whether they fall into track one or track two timeframes for negotiations in mid-April 2024. Again, we'll be notifying bidders of interest or giving an indication of qualification and track one or track two indication in mid-April 2024. Second and final question here, is the slide deck available online? So yes, the slide deck will be uploaded to Power Advocate by the end of this week in those applicable Power Advocate events. And then the slide deck, transcript, and audio will be made available on the 2024 PG&E CPE local RARFO website in early March. So stay tuned for updates on that side. We will be sending out a market notice once all the webinar materials are available on the RFO website. So thank you for those questions. Again, keep them coming. Send them through the CPE solicitations at pge.com mailbox, please. And thank you. All right, so with that, we will go ahead and move on to the next part of the webinar here, which is focused on our self-shown commitment processes, as well as a walkthrough of each of our competitive offer forms. So we'll go ahead and start off with the self-shown attestation. So per ordering paragraph two of the RAOIR, that's Order Institute Rulemaking Phase 1 Decision, CPUC LSEs that elect to self-show a local resource to the CPE must execute an attestation that provides that, one, the LSE has the capacity rights to the RA resource for the period it's self-showing, two, the LSE intends to self-show the RA resource on annual and monthly RA plans to satisfy its system and or flexible RA needs, and lastly, if applicable, the resource that the LSE intends to self-show for compensation under the local capacity requirement reduction compensation mechanism, or LCR-RCM, meets the eligibility requirements pursuant to the decision 20-12-006. An executed self-shown attestation is required for all self-shown commitments submitted as part of the 2024 CPE RFO. Self-shown attestations associated with compensated self-shown commitments will be null and void if a corresponding compensated self-shown agreement is not executed between the participant and PG&E CPE. Self-shown attestations associated with competitive offers that elect the default to self-show option will be null and void if an agreement associated with the same competitive offer is executed between the participant and PG&E CPE. All right, so as previously mentioned, PG&E CPE made some updates to the self-shown attestation process. We'll dive into that a little bit more here. So CPUC LSEs are now asked to provide a full refresh of all resource commitments that fall within the 2025 through 2027 RA compliance years using values from the most recent final version of the NQC list posted on the CPUC Resource Adequacy Compliance Materials website. To the extent LSEs have previously submitted non-compensated self-shown commitments for the 2025 and 2026 compliance years, those commitments should be refreshed through the updated self-shown attestation form. This update process applies to all CPUC LSEs participating in the non-compensated self-shown commitment process. Really want to emphasize this part, regardless of whether they are committing additional capacity for the 2025 through 2027 compliance years through the 2024 local RARSO. So here's an example of what I'm talking about put into practice. Let's say a CPUC LSE, we'll call them LSE A, has previously committed capacity for the 2024 through 2025 RA compliance years during the 2023 RFO, and now they want to commit additional capacity this year in 2024. Below is LSEA's 2023 non-compensated self-shown commitment form. You see here the highlighted capacity committed for the 2025 RA compliance year, that January 2025 through October 2025. It will fall within the 2024 RFO compliance window, which again is March 2025 through 2027. So for that reason, it must be included in an updated self-shown attestation through the 2024 RFO process. All right, so for 2024, LSEA will submit an updated commitment form and attestation with all incremental capacity it wishes to commit while continuing to maintain its prior commitment made in the 2023 RFO. We have a screenshot here on this slide of what should be included in LSEA's 2024 non-compensated commitment form. So walking through this from top to bottom here, the commitment start date, you can see it captures the relevant portion of the previous commitment for that 2025 compliance year. Meanwhile, that green highlight capacity seen on the previous slide is once again attested to here. The capacity in the yellow box represents the additional incremental capacity LSEA commits for the 2024 RFO. One thing I do want to note is it's important that in the event the committed resources NQC changes and that impacts the quantity of committed capacity, that change should be reflected in the CTC LSE's 2024 non-compensated commitment form. That's sort of a refresh term that we had used earlier. All right, so now we'll do an overview of our commitment form and instructions for this process as well. There are three commitment form types. We have the non-compensated self-shown commitment form, eligible for CPUCs only, as well as our compensated self-shown commitment form. Also, again, for CPUC LSEs, the default to self-show commitment form, which all of these forms listed here are specifically for CPUC LSEs. Each of these forms is going to include three tabs, an instruction and acknowledgments tab, second is an attestation tab, and then finally a tab to display or indicate the self-show resources being committed. So another look at this graphic here, just to kind of indicate where these three commitment forms lie in the commitment or offer processes here. They're noted in the red font. You want to use Appendix F1 for the non-compensated self-show commitment process. Meanwhile, for competitive offer processes, for the competitive offer for compensated self-shown commitments, you'd be using Appendix F2. And for competitive offers for bundled RA, where you're defaulting to self-show, that would be Appendix F3. All right, so once you pick the correct form, the next step you'll take is to fill out the requested fields in the instructions tab. I'm not going to go over each of these individual fields, but they are on screen here. At the bottom of the screen, the compensated self-shown commitment form and the default to self-shown commitment form will ask for a corresponding offer ID, which will be generated by the respective offer forms associated with the specific commitments. Then step three, the attestation tab, you'll want to populate the information asked for here on screen. And then step four is filling out that self-shown resource tab. So this is where you'll indicate to the PG&E CPE project-specific information, that's including capacity amounts in megawatts that the LSE is self-showing to the CPE. A couple things to highlight at the bottom here. For the non-compensated self-shown commitment form, CPUC LSEs must enter all non-compensated self-shown commitments in the self-shown resources tab, but may only submit one non-compensated self-shown commitment per resource. Second, for compensated self-shown commitments, the CPUC LSE must submit a single compensated self-shown commitment form for each compensated self-shown commitment competitively offered to the CPE. And then lastly, if you like to go the default self-shown route through the bundled RA process, CPUC LSE must submit a single default self-shown commitment form for each competitive offer for which you can elect the default self-show option. Right, and then lastly, step five, so the actual submittal process. Once the form is complete, you'll want to submit through Power Advocate. We do have instructions on how to register and sign up for Power Advocate on our CPE RFO website. You'll also need to submit a PDF version of both the attestation tab and the self-shown resource tab in a single PDF document collectively known as the self-shown attestation. The LSE must physically or electronically sign the PDF, so either form of signature works. And then the participants will need to ensure that the self-shown attestation meets the following requirements. You want to confirm that the self-shown attestation is completely and accurately filled out. It includes the signature, either physical or electronic, by its respective authorized representative. And lastly, three, complies with all the instructions for submission as detailed in the applicable commitment form. That screenshot there is just a refresher for those not familiar with how to print an Excel document to a PDF. The last part of our overview for the commitments and offers is the submittal process for competitive commitments or competitive offers here. The documents that are due for non-compensated self-shown commitment submittal are Appendix F1, the non-compensated self-shown commitment form, as well as that self-shown attestation I was talking about earlier. Documents for competitive offer submittal are on screen here. Keep in mind this list is also included in the 2024 CPE RFO solicitation protocol, so I won't read through all of these line by line. All right, and then so at the bottom half of the screen here, you see that if a participant is submitting multiple competitive offers in the CPE RFO, there are certain documents that only need to be submitted once via Power Advocate. So those documents are Appendix D2, Supplemental Counterparty Financial Information, Appendix C, the FERC 717 waiver, and Appendix D, the Confidentiality Agreement. I do want to point out that all these documents, appendices A through F, are only accessible via the Download Documents tab of the applicable Power Advocate event. They will not be accessible through the CPE RFO website. You will have to register for Power Advocate to gain access. Again, we have instructions on how to do that on our website. All right, so Power Advocate, for those who are not familiar, is a third-party online platform that PG&E CPE utilizes to receive self-shown commitments and offer submittals. This year, similar to years past, we have three distinct Power Advocate events. Please ensure you register for and upload documents to the correct event. You can register at any time. Please reach out if you run into any issues. The links are there below for each respective offer type. Working from top to bottom here, the non-compensated self-shown commitments. Middle row is competitive offer for PG&E participant only. And then the final bottom row is for competitive offers for all non-PG&E participants. And again, as was previously mentioned on that last slide, these RFO documents are only available in the Power Advocate event themselves. All right, so some quick reminders here on commitment and offer submittals. Appendix A offer forms or Appendix F commitment forms may result in terms of contractual implications, so be mindful of the data you're providing to us as a CPE. Competitive offers and non-compensated self-shown commitments shall not be made contingent upon the execution of any agreement related to any competitive offer or the acceptance of any non-compensated self-shown commitment. Third, commitment package or offer packages must be complete at the time of submission. Four, no variations are allowed for participants submitting non-compensated self-shown commitments or competitive offers for compensated self-shown commitments. Number five, participants submitting competitive offers for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement may submit up to five mutually exclusive competitive offer variations. For those that haven't gone through that process, our offer form has a pretty easy-to-use button that allows participants to add up to five offer variants. And then lastly, participants are only allowed to submit one version of proposed markups for each applicable agreement. Just some general reminders as we kind of start to conclude the main part of this webinar. Our website, linked on screen, has a number of different documents to guide participants when submitting a commitment or offer. The RFO protocol, the RFO schedule, Power Advocate user guide, and Power Advocate event links are all available on the website. As a reminder, the RFO materials, such as Appendix A through F, are only available in Power Advocate. All communications should be directed to cpesolicitations@pge.com. With a reminder to please CC the independent evaluator. Again, that email address is pge_cpe_ie@paconsulting.com on all emails sent to the CPE RFO mailbox. All right, so that's the end of the main part of the presentation for the webinar. For those that want to stick around, I'll go through more detail in terms of the offer forms with more detailed instructions on how to submit and what fields and forms to fill out. I'll give a pause for a minute here just to give those a second to drop off if they wish. All right, so on to the appendix. This is where we'll discuss the offer forms in a little more detail. We'll start with Appendix A1, the offer form for compensated self-shown commitments. This will be for CPUC LSEs that wish to self-show a resource to the PG&E CPE for no for compensation. Excuse me. Again, here's a visual breakdown of which process Appendix A1 applies to. That's the competitive offer for compensated self-shown commitments, limited only to CPUC LSEs. You can see it's highlighted there, also in red font. All right, so you want to start off by first having access to the applicable Power Advocate event, depending on whether you are a PG&E participant or a non-PG&E participant. And then from there, go to the Download Documents tab in the event, and then click on that Appendix A1 offer file name. You can see it's highlighted in red there. Once you click the offer form file name, the form will download to your computer as an Excel workbook. Important note for this workbook, as well as the next couple that I'll talk about, there are many features that are macro-driven, so it's important that you enable these macros or the forms won't function properly. Down below are some screenshots kind of what those prompts look like. Just make sure you're clicking Enable Content or Enable Macros. All right, so after enabling macros and opening up the Excel workbook, you will get this initial setup initial offer screen. We'll kind of go through here these steps 1 through 3 broadly. First off, red box number 1, you'll choose from a pick list to indicate the resource and technology type. Secondly, you'll indicate whether the resource is new or existing. And then after you've populated all the fields for covered in steps 1 and 2, you're going to click on Create Offer. So Once you click through the create offer button, the forms instructions tab will be displayed. It should automatically move you over to this instructions tab. Participants, it's important you make sure you review the instructions prior to proceeding any further in the workbook. Once you've given the instructions a read through at the bottom of the screen, you can see the tab to select offer info. You'll want to move over to that tab, which will then bring you to this screen. So participants should populate all of the orange highlighted cells. Again, this is focused on the compensated self-shown commitment eligible to CPUC LSEs. So this is the top part of the offer form tab. That part in gray is mainly generic information related to the project. And then as you're filling out the information, these orange highlighted cells, the cells will change to green. That's how you know you've entered in either correct information and the cells been properly populated. Moving on, a little bit more information. Participants will provide, you know, things about authorized contacts, legal names, things like that. And then also want to call out the comment boxes to the right of those orange fields. Those are kind of helpful prompts that will indicate whether a field is supposed to be populated with a number or will prompt the user to choose from a tick list. Yeah, helpful to keep those in mind as you're filling out the workbook. All right, so farther down in the offer form workbook, this is things to call out in the middle here, the initial shown date and the shown term. So participants should identify the initial shown date and the shown term of their offer. Both of these fields are going to use a tick list. And as a reminder for compensated self-shown commitments, the initial shown date and the period of the shown term must fall within the compliance window of January 2025 through December 2027. This screenshot here, when the webinar deck is posted to the website, we'll make sure to update those calendar year fields to read 2025 to 2027. And then at the bottom, you'll see a place to attach a price in dollars per kilowatt month for each calendar year of the shown term. Speaking of price, again, per the previously mentioned decision 20-12-006, competitive offers for compensated self-shown local RA will have their compensation capped at a predetermined local price. So once that information has been filled out, you want to generate a file name and then get ready to save and submit. You'll move over to the file name tab as shown at the top of the screen, highlighted in red. And there will be a button that says generate file name. So step one in the blue screen here highlighted, it'll generate that file name for you in that field. So then the generated file name will be displayed in the file save as panel there. And then you'll want to then, after clicking save this file, navigate to the location where you want the file saved. One thing I really want to emphasize, it's important that you don't change the file name. The file name has to be saved as the file name has to be the same as the file name indicated in that file name tab within the workbook. All right, so that's the end of Appendix A1 for the competitive self-shown process offer form. We'll move on to Appendix A2. These are some instructions for the offer form for bundled RA and bundled RA with energy settlement. Again, another breakdown kind of visually here. Appendix A2 is going to apply to the competitive offer for bundled RA, and that's bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. And all market participants are eligible to use this form. Again, similar to before, you want to go to the Power Advocate event, go to the Download Documents tab, find Appendix A2, and click that file name to download the file onto your computer. As previously stated, it's important you enable macros, otherwise the workbook will not function properly. So after enabling macros, you will be greeted with another set of initial offer screen. This one is going to look a little different than the one from Appendix A1. So going in order here, steps 1 through 3. First off, the participant will select the resource and technology type. You can see there's different options there: storage, non-hydro, renewable resources, gas-fired, demand response, things like that. Number 2, the right-hand side of the setup initial offer screen is a drop-down or pick list for bundled RA choices. Things like, are you the owner of the project, yes or no? What type of entity are you? You know, are you an LSE or not? And then also whether the project is a new or existing resource as defined per the solicitation protocol definition. Make sure you're familiar with whether your project is defined as new or existing. And then the last field here for step 2 is the project dispatchable. And then moving on then, once you have all those fields populated, you'll want to go ahead and click that create offer button. Again, instructions tab, make sure you read through it, make sure you understand the instructions. If you have any questions about the offer form, please send an inquiry to cpesolicitations@pge.com. Once you're confident that you've understood the instructions, you want to navigate to the offer info tab. So again, everything in gray will be populated based on what was chosen during that initial setup screen pop-up. And then you will then be asked to fill out those orange fields. Again, once they're populated properly, they will be changed to green. All right, so step 3 and 4 are going to be broken down based on the contract structure. So like I mentioned before, participants have the option, depending on eligibility, to do a percent contract structure or fixed contract structure. So you can see those two options here on screen, percent and fixed. All right, so starting off with the percentage contract structure. If you're eligible for this structure and the offer form format, so you'll be taken to this screen. Again, all orange fields must be filled out. They'll turn green when you complete them. And then for the top row for the data source, for your NQC or net qualifying capacity value, has a pick list option to select various responses. Then you'll provide your NQC values for each month, and if applicable, your flex RA attributes for each month in the offer form. If the project doesn't have any EFC or effective flexible capacity, the value should be entered in as 0 in these fields. And then lastly, here at the bottom of the screen, that contracted quantity, you want to enter in a percentage. So, you know, 100%, 50%, 90%, whatever you're choosing to offer. All right, so next up, you want to indicate whether or not you are opting for energy settlement, simple yes or no, and then it will automatically generate a corresponding energy settlement tab for you to then populate based on the answer. Again, too, for initial delivery dates, just as a reminder here for existing resources, that IDD can allow you to choose between January 2025 through December 2027. For new builds, you have the options from January 2025 through December 2029. All right, so then also for offer forms with the percentage contract structure, you'll have to enter in some operational characteristics. Again, fields that you have to fill out will be marked in orange. All right, so another feature of these offer forms, and I think as we have previously touched on, is you do have the option to add additional variants to your offer form. So basically what this does, there's an add variant button at the top of the offer form, and clicking it will automatically populate a lot of the basic project information and participant information. And then from there, you can tailor the delivery term, the initial delivery date, whether or not you want energy settlement, different prices, contracted quantities, things like that. And again, you can submit up to 5 different offer variants per resource. Moving on to the fixed contract structure offer form, it does look substantially similar to what we just went over. The only difference here is that you'll notice the contract structure percentage or the contract quantity percentage field at the very bottom is missing. Because again, this will be a monthly schedule of capacity values for this structure. Again, you can choose to offer energy settlement or not. If you do choose energy settlement, an energy settlement tab will be automatically generated. After that, you can choose the ID and delivery term again. And again, as with the percentage contract structure, you do have the option to submit up to 5 variants per resource. So on to the specific variant tab of the offer form, based on what percentage was entered in previously, the workbook will automatically generate the capacity values seen in that screenshot, red box number 2. Then jumping back up to the number 1 box there, you will manually enter in the contract price that you wish to offer for each year. Meanwhile, on the fixed side, so again, you'll enter in the contract price for each calendar year. And then for the contracted quantities, those values will be manually populated based on the amount that the participant wishes to offer. So if you chose to offer energy settlement, again, like I mentioned, an energy settlement tab will be generated. Then from there, you'll fill out various offer form fields. For the sake of this demonstration, we're saying that we're offering energy storage, energy settlement here. So you enter things like the variable O&M, the duration, and round-trip efficiency of the resource. And also, as previously mentioned, there are different options depending on the type of the resource. You can see here, their fields are going to be slightly different if the participant is offering a gas-fired resource and opts for energy settlement. Again, different energy settlement tabs just based on the type of resource offered. All right, so once the offer form is fully populated, similar to Appendix A1, you'll want to navigate to the File Name tab. After that, you'll click that Generate File Name button, and then the file name will be populated in the Save This File panel. From there, you'll click Save This File, and then be prompted to choose a location to save the workbook to. Again, do not change the file name. Make sure it is consistent with what is in the File Name Generator tab. All right, so that was Appendix A2. Now, finally wrapping things up here, Appendix A3, the new offer form for this 2024 local RA RFO that is limited to CQC LFEs only, submitting RA only offers. Again, this offer form can be found in the Power Advocate event through the Download Documents tab, and it can be downloaded by clicking the file name. As with the other offer forms, make sure macros are enabled. Read through the instructions, make sure that you understand them, and reach out if you have any questions. All right, so this is where things are going to look a little different than the previous offer forms. You'll start out filling out some basic counterparty information. Again, though, the cells that are required will be highlighted in orange, and they will change to just normal white background black font once they've been populated. From there, you'll navigate to the Fill Out Offer Info tab, and then this is where, working from left to right here, you would indicate here that the contract structure is fixed, and then you would choose an offer variant. Again, similar to the other offer forms, participants can choose to submit up to 5 different variants. You'll always want to start off with variant A for each resource being offered, using that pick list there. From there, you'll answer various questions to indicate the technology type, as well as if the resource is front of the meter or behind the meter. Again, LSEs have the option to default to self-show if their competitive offer is not selected. From there, you can choose from a pick list, yes or no answer, whether or not the LSE would like to default to self-show or not. And then the remaining fields is just filling out various project details. After that, still in the offer info tab, you will fill out the RA attributes of the resource based on CAISO NTC or EFC list values. You'll indicate a delivery term start date or delivery term end date. And again, this pick list will allow you to choose start and end dates that range between January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2027. From there, you'll enter in the contracted quantities you wish to offer. And then in the event you offer a quantity that's above the NQC that you previously entered, that was shown on that last slide, the offer form workbook will flag those in red and mark them as needing to be remedied. So, I don't know. After the contracted quantity has been populated, you want to enter in the contract price for each year. And then based on whether the resource is front of the meter or behind the meter, you'll choose to either populate the local area or the sublab area. For demonstration purposes, this resource will be front of the meter, so a local area has been selected. After that, there's some information asked for in terms of census tract and pollution burden. Participant will start by using a pick list to indicate whether the census tract of the resource has a Cal Enviro Screen score. If the census tract does have a Cal Enviro Screen score, you enter it in that next field there, that gray box. If the census tract of the resource does not have a Cal Enviro Screen score, though, you would instead leave that Cal Enviro Screen gray box blank and then fill out the pollution burden on the far right instead. All right, so once the offer info tab has been fully populated, again, as with the other offer forms, you'll click Generate File Name in the File Name tab. From there, you'll have a generated file name, and after clicking Save This File, it will prompt you to choose a file location, and then you'll have it saved on your computer. Again, make sure that the file name is not changed from what it said in the File Name tab. All right, so that was a look at the offer forms. This remaining Appendix A4 is just a quick look at the decisions that guide CTE procurement. I won't kind of go through each of these slides, but I will just briefly flash them up on screen. But in the meantime, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we hope to see you in this year's 2024 PG&E CPE Local RA RFO. Thank you very much.
This does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great rest of your day.